first things first, Ben, you have actually made a signing today. So just tell us about Kane Hemmings and how this process has gone about to him joining Barnsley.
I think what we realised last year is we want our own players. We want them to be committed and we want them to be delighted and happy and excited about playing for Barnsley Football Club. And Kane Hemmings ticked absolutely all of those boxes. He'd had a great start to his career and a good grounding in the setup in Rangers, sort of, I think, pre some of the issues with their finances. He's an English lad. He's from Tamworth. I think he was spotted down in Telford way on, which made it, which then resulted in his transition up to Scotland at quite an early age. Probably through one or two injury issues and the impending financial situation at Rangers, he found himself having to go last year to the Scottish Championship and prove his point. And he did. Cowdenbeath finished towards the bottom of that league. And he scored, you know, 30 goals in nearly as many appearances. He's different to the strikers that we've got. I think our fans will see some links to footage that we're able to supply, and obviously on other channels that they can pick up some of the footage. And when they do, they'll hopefully see why we've brought him in. His pace, his power, he's at a good age. He's very keen to get back into a proper full-time professional outfit in ourselves. That's no disrespect to Cowdenbeath, but I think they sort of operated more on a conference part-time style setup. He'll be back into a full-time environment with us, with a great coaching staff, with a hunger and a desire to prove his point back in the professional game in England. He was also voted the SPL Championship Player of the Year, ahead of one or two others that have migrated to our South Yorkshire rivals. So I don't want to put any pressure on between him and the gentleman, that, because they're slightly different positions, gentleman that signed for Sheffield United. But if Kane tops him by 10 goals in the charts this year, I'll be delighted.
How do you know whether a player's got the hunger, the desire, the want to sort of prove a point at Barnsley? How do you sort of look a player in the eye and see that with a guy?
The short answer is I leave that to Danny Wilson. But in all seriousness, I've tried to be in one or two of the meetings. Having been there the other side sort of 12 months ago as an agent, you sit there in some of those meetings. I've sort of wanted to get a feel for some of the guys that Danny's meeting. I think, you know, recruitment's the buzzword around Barnsley this summer. We might appear at the moment to our fans to being a little bit cautious compared to how we have in the past. But I think the mistakes we made last year sometimes in just bettering the devil we know and trying to stick with some of what we've got, we've tried to sort of change that. And we've challenged ourselves to only bring people in if we're as confident as we can be, because you are dealing in flesh and blood. You're not dealing in electricals and the rest. So we are dealing in players. It's not an exact science, but we are just trying to wait for the right ones to drop at the right time. And I think Kane, in the structure of the deal, he's backed himself to play games and to score goals. And if he does, he'll be well paid. And I sincerely hope we are well paying him.
And you are looking for value for money as well, aren't you? You're looking for players who can come in, have an impact, potentially have resale value down the line, who are going to be young, good players for this football club and assets as well.
Yeah, I think we just want a hunger. We just want a hunger. We just want people to turn up at 1:15 for a 3 o'clock kickoff and just be delighted that we've got so many fantastic season ticket holders that have already renewed. If we're towards the top of this league, I think they'll be playing in front of nearly 10,000. Obviously, the away gates will drop a little bit when you look at the fixtures earlier. It's not the same as it was. Kane's somebody who comes, he's got a burning desire to prove his point. He was well represented by the individuals that were connected to him who wanted to structure something that gave him an opportunity at a club like Barnsley. Value for money is incredibly important. We do come down with seven players on championship-style contracts. We have got sort of six or seven, in our opinion, very good youngsters. So we've got to add to a squad, therefore, that challenges. But I do think with the size of our turnover, we'll have an 18 that will provide value for money, and I think an 11 that should hopefully excite the supporters, which is what they are as desperate for as the ownership and the executive of this club.
The fans have been sort of waiting for the signings to begin. They've now seen Kane come in and Adam Davies as well, the goalkeeper. Danny says that he's optimistic that, you know, one or two more might start to come in as well. Is this a good time now? It's been a bit of a slow start to the summer, hasn't it, for all of the Football League? But do you think we're going to start to see transfers happening now and moves being made?
Yeah, I think we do. I think maybe the piece that I did with yourself, Rob, actually, around the playoff final weekend, that you sometimes see a little bit of activity through to the playoffs because you've got players hanging around for a week or two, you've got the release list coming out, and one or two clubs moving quite swiftly through to the end of the playoffs. The end of the playoffs, everybody, you know, managers, executives, will take a little bit of time. You've got the Football League AGM that takes everybody away as well, albeit we're all hiding in corners, not wanting our peer group to know how many of their players we're seeking to sign. So it has been slow. I still believe it's as slow as it's ever been again now. And I think there's very few clubs, Mickey Mellon at Shrewsbury, I understand, is the busiest ones, and it doesn't surprise me. Mickey's a very organised individual, and he'll be working hard to do well. Rotherham seem to have obviously, having made that step up, have been active. But I think in the main, you'll see our South Yorkshire counterparts and our League One counterparts, until the other day, I think there was half the league, if not nine of the league, that hadn't made a signing yet. That appears to be the common trend, and I think what you'll have is no clubs seem to be moving, so therefore the players aren't buckling. Mm. The players are saying, well, nobody's moved yet, so until the clubs start making signings, we don't need to appear to decrease or pull back from what we're asking for. So until we see probably a little bit more activity from clubs, I still think it will be slow. I think the days of a lot of activity and a squad being together nearly for pre-season have gone. I think most people think, well, if, you know, by the time I may be third or fourth week of pre-season, I might have a few days away. If I've start to got 16, 18, 20 together by then they'll be happy. So it has been slow. I anticipate the next 2 to 3 weeks will still be slow. That is not to say that there isn't an incredible amount of work going on behind the scenes. We've obviously, and I'm sure you're going to ask me, been linked with having made a number of bids for players. Danny's working tirelessly, supported by myself, his entire staff. And we've had great support from the board in Barry and Morris and Patrick in particular. Absolutely our fans can rest assured that the amount of work going on behind the scenes is far, far outweighs the amount of paperwork that we've been able to finalise and announce just yet.
And as you mentioned, there are names being linked. How close are you to doing deals? Conor Hourihan is the one that has been mentioned a lot in the press. How close are you perhaps to doing a deal with him, or maybe anybody else for that matter?
I think I'd like to talk about things when they're done. I think I've always said that. I think I'm a little bit reluctant. I appreciate because you get so much media speculation. I know you've caught up with Danny today and he's sort of confirmed that we've made a bid on Conor. I think in the main, I'd rather us just talk about things when they're done. I think it's the best and most respectful way. Also, if things happen, then we announce them and that's positive. Every so often, a lot of work goes into something and ultimately two clubs just can't decide on the valuation, or a club and a player can't decide on the terms of a contract, and you can have a lot of positivity, and then if something doesn't quite happen, sometimes through no real fault of us Barnsley, our supporters will get a little bit disappointed. So I'll try and talk about things when they're done, and try as best we can not to talk about other clubs' players, because I don't think that's appropriate in the main.
On a general point, you did say you think it'll be quiet for 2 or 3 weeks still. Is anything close? If you're not going to give names, what can you tell the fans at this stage?
As Danny says, who blinks first at times. And if somebody blinks in the next 2 or 3 hours, I could be ringing you tomorrow morning, Rob, and saying, right, you know, get back down. We've got three lads turning up and having medicals. I could see us being, 5 to 7 days away from a couple. Mm. But that's just gut feel based on the situations that are in front of us. One or two things. Now, there's that constant, is John Ryan saying the takeover is going to happen at Doncaster. That may radically change their budget. Likewise, something may happen to us. So it's up and down day in, day out. But do I think we'll have one or two more to follow Kane over the next 7 days? Yeah, if I'm a betting man, yes.
One other thing the fans really want to know about are the out-of-contract players.
Yep.
Jim O'Brien, we believe that he's turned down an offer. What exactly is the situation there?
Yeah, I wanted to. Danny had a few days away, and so did I. So I wanted to get back and sort of review that situation. I spoke to Jim personally yesterday. I rang him to wish him all the very best with whatever he was doing next in his career, because Jim has decided that it's time for him to move on. We've put to both Jim, to Dawes and to Thomas, offers that on Dawson and Jim were 2 years, on Thomas was 1 year. I don't think it's right to talk about the financials. In my opinion, those financials are good top six League One monies. Outside of maybe one or two clubs paying sort of north of 100 and a bit thousand pounds a year, to earn that type of money, it is good money. So we feel we've put something to it. I think for Jim, he's been a fantastic servant to this club, and I think when he was in the team, his enthusiasm, his desire, he moved to Barnsley, I believe he settled in Barnsley. Hopefully Jim won't mind me saying, I think he found love in Barnsley as well, in terms of his private life. And for me, he was wholehearted. And if we could have kept Jim, I think we would have. I think what the players probably, and what we did was try and put something that was reasonably our best foot forward first. Didn't get involved in horse trading. And I think probably all three, definitely maybe Dawson and Jim, thought that there might be a greater negotiation to have. But I think we put something forward. Dawson, Jim decided that wasn't acceptable, that the terms that we put to them. And I wish both of them all the very, very best with their future careers, because as far as I can see, both have been good servants. Dawson hasn't always maybe been as big a fan's favourite as Jim, but they both, I think, provided value for money for the football club over the years they were here.
So they're going to be moving on. Is that the same situation with Thomas Sivka then?
Yeah, Thomas is an interesting one. Thomas, we didn't really hear anything from at all. Jim's agent, Darth, and I said this to Jim, kept the offer open and kept in communications all the period during the month's period. Dawes, his agent, was quite clear quite early that the terms we put were acceptable, and that's why when I came in and caught up with you, Rob, that Saturday, we dealt with that one. Thomas, I think we didn't hear a lot from. We knew there was potential interest. I think it just got to a stage with Thomas where I caught up with the owner and we just felt we'll withdraw that offer. No sooner did we sort of communicate that to Thomas and his representatives than it broke on some of those other websites that agents use to put forward rumours and suggestions about their clients that are never true. Not that I ever use that type of thing, Rob, but I think Thomas's agent suggested that he'd rejected the offer. We had no formal acceptance or rejection from Thomas, and we decided before the deadline we'd withdraw that.
And Jacob Mellis is the other interesting one. Danny's just mentioned that there's a compensation issue there, which kind of complicates things a little bit. What is the situation with Jacob?
I think with Jacob, it's an ongoing one, and there's various regulations from the Football League that'll govern that situation. We made Jacob an offer, which, because he was under 24, means that we're entitled to some compensation for the 2 years that he spent with Barnsley. And I think at the time that he came to Barnsley, especially towards the end of the year of the Great Escape, if you like, we'd provided Jacob with a platform to get his career going after an unsuccessful end to his time at Chelsea. I think Keith Hill and David got him going again, and credit to them for doing that. I think the club has therefore paid him and given him that platform, and we therefore felt that it was right to make him an offer for him to continue his development at Barnsley, but equally to protect, the fact that he may well attract Championship opportunities. I think Jacob might have secured some Championship interest, but given the way that probably not many of our players performed to their absolute pinnacle week in, week out last year, it hasn't been at a level that we might find acceptable from a financial point of view. So Jacob has a little bit of time till the start of pre-season, and when we get to the start of pre-season, for us to maintain our compensation rights, he would sort of convert to a week-by-week basis. And what Jacob's got to decide, and I think we're challenging him to make that decision quickly, is whether he's going to be inclusive, come back, knuckle down and be the best central midfielder in this division, or whether, if his heart's not in it, we've got to look and sit down with Danny and look at our other targets and look at the finance involved in Jacob and decide that we come to some kind of agreement with Jacob, his representatives and any other team that allows Jacob to move on and us to rebuild with people that are truly committed. So Jacob has a little bit of time till we start pre-season on the 30th of June to make his mind up. I think unless we're absolutely confident he's 100% committed to the cause and we can look the fans in the eye and say that, then We won't allow him to sign a long-term agreement with the club. But at the moment, I think Jacob's a young man who is upset like all of us are, as to what happened last year. And he's just taking his time with his mum and his dad, as I understand it, his representatives, to find his way to making the right decision for him. We will only allow him to make a right decision for him, which involves us, if it's right for us.
But he has to be aware, and he will be aware, that he needs to make a decision sooner rather than later, because you as a club can't wait forever, can you?
No, we can't and we won't. There's nobody bigger than Barnsley Football Club. Any owner, executive, manager, player doesn't compete with the 6,000+ that have fantastically shown their support and committed again. So, no, there'll come a point where, you know, we will move on with or without Jacob Mellis, and all of our plans are being geared to the best of Barnsley Football Club, not sitting and waiting as to what will happen with Jacob Mellis. I think Jacob, you know, lives in the area, he moved to the area, he spends time in the area through the summer. It's a little bit where I'm still sat on my hands a little bit as to which way to go with Jacob. Like all summers, probably if we could put it in a book at the end of it, it'd be a good read. But at the moment, he does have a little bit of time, but that in no way is affecting what we are doing for the best of Barnsley Football Club moving forward.
Chris O'Grady, what a talking point he's been for the last couple of weeks amongst the supporters. We've seen all sorts. We've seen the interest from Charlton, which then apparently fell apart. We've seen Sheffield United being linked with him recently. What exactly is the situation with Chris?
Yeah, what the situation is with Chris is a fantastic individual. He is always available for any club commitment. He put in a shift last year in scoring 15 goals in a team that didn't create that many. And all the time I know Chris is contracted to this football club, we'll get 110%. So that's the first most important thing. Chris O'Grady is a really, really good lad, and one that, under the vast majority of circumstances, you would always want at your football club. That said, Chris only does have a year left on his contract, and therefore a person that scores 15 goals in a relegated team, let's be honest, he's going to attract interest. He did attract interest from Charlton very early in the window. They wanted to take him. They put a substantial bid to us, and we were happy to, at that stage of the window, accept that type of bid. Chris, probably through his representatives, I'm not sure how we gave him permission to speak, and it looked like Chris couldn't get something that worked for him, and I think his family are very well settled in the area, and Charlton didn't feel right to Chris, so he absolutely says thanks but no thanks, and Charlton move on, and we move on, and Chris moves on. So that's the situation with Charlton. There was a substantial bid that we felt at that stage of the window, when certain of our targets might have been available to replace him, we were happy. That is the only bid we've accepted. It's the only type of bid that we will accept. And the size of the bid and the quantum of the bid and the timing of the bid was all communicated to Chris's representatives. And at this stage, nobody else has met our valuation. So nobody else has had permission to speak to him.
What contact have you had from Sheffield United?
I mean, look, I was aware that Nigel mentioned he might... And Nigel Clough's a manager I respect immensely. I dealt with him at Derby, and he's a proper, proper football manager. And I did sort of touch base with Mal Branigan, my counterpart, who I know we're actually not a million miles away from each other. We're sort of in the next villages. And Mal and I have talked about Chris O'Grady in passing a couple of times as part of other general conversations we've been having about football and the challenges that the Football League and League One are facing with salary cap management, etc. So I don't want to over-egg it, but speaking to Mal as somebody that I respect and trust, and the same with his manager in Nigel Clough, they suggested that, you know, that they would struggle to match his contractual terms with us, let alone pay a transfer fee. So on that basis, I don't see there's any way that Chris O'Grady can end up at Sheffield United. And secondly, any fee that we might accept from a Championship club to allow Chris to return to the Championship if Chris wanted to, I'm sure there's a substantial premium that would go on that if we were ever to remotely contemplate him going to our absolute neighbours, let alone a competitor we expect to be in the top six. So I think Sheffield United and Chris O'Grady, with the greatest respect to everybody involved in Sheffield United, is not something I can see happening, unless it is something that would almost certainly be of enough finance to guarantee our return to the Championship.
How much pressure are you to sell Chris O'Grady, though, given that, as you mentioned, he's got 1 year left on his deal? You don't want to lose him for nothing next year, do you?
I think, you know, look, at times... some of the situations and the negotiations you get involved in is a bit like a game of poker, and you can only play with the cards that you dealt. And I don't want to get into what's happened in the past because you know clocks only turn one way, but we've got certain people that are on contracts that in an ideal world you'd want to be longer, you'd want to include certain protections. Not all of them do because of the circumstances that were involved at the time that you signed them, and it's all right looking at it. But I think pressure, no, I think, you know, Chris is on a substantial contract, just like one or two of our others. You see Martin Craney, Luke Steele, Dale Jennings and Chris linked with teams. Our fans are earmarked, and we've earmarked that they're four that you pretty much know could perform in the Championship week in, week out on very sensible money. So they'll attract interest. You know, you saw the amount of scouts our last 6 to 8 games. It was the same when we went to Yeovil. Doncaster probably had the same. I saw Mark Duffy went to Birmingham yesterday as a player, I know. You will get pride over, but for us at the moment, we've got those players under contract. They're our players, and I know how committed the owner and the board are to this football club and to making sure that we're competitive next year. Patrick said to me the other day, we want to win some games. You know, the last few years have taken their tolls. So we will only let players leave this football club if it's right for this football club. And I know that's a general response, but it's the right response. You know, the Chris O'Grady to Sheffield United is probably just an unhelpful distraction for our fans, and it's one that I can assure them there's no yardage in as we stand here today.
And you mentioned the other players there. Is it simply Charlton have had the offer accepted for Chris O'Grady and that hasn't happened now? Has there been any other bids for any of your other players that you just mentioned there?
Probably at this stage in the summer, I'm quite happy to say no. I think as things, you know, evolve in the main, I'd rather only talk about things that are or are not going to happen. As things progress, I think we've tried to let the fans know first as and when things are happening at Barnsley Football Club. And I think that'll be the case. When there's something for the fans to know, if somebody's leaving, staying, we'll deal with it then. And until then, I think just let you media outlets enjoy the World Cup. Enjoy then all the transfer activity you'll suggest is going to happen, which never has a chance of happening, and enjoy doing that.